Well, Election Day means the final stop on Saturday Extra's Election Express, and each week we've been tapping into the vibe of regional and rural Australia, especially our Indigenous communities, also some of our ethnic communities. We've been exploring the major issues for their readers. Now, this morning we're bringing back three editors who are covering some of the most watched electorates in this 2016 election. Libby Price, Radio National alumni and now editor of the Benalla Ensign, that's located in northeastern Victoria. She's covering the very contested seat of Indi between the incumbent independent Cathy McGowan and the Liberal hopeful Sophie Mirabella. The Benalla Ensign is one of several papers owned by the McPherson Media Group. Hello, Libby. Welcome back.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. Les Pearson, editor of the independent paper, The Plains Producer, located in that most unpredictable of states this election, South Australia. The Plains Producer is based in Balaclava, which is about an hour north of Adelaide. It covers those vast electorates of Wakefield and Grey, where the predictions are of an upset. G'day, Les.
How are you doing? It's great to be here, Andrew.
And you're, I think, on a polling booth.
I'm here live right now, and there's a lineup. Of course, South Australian time. It's the doors haven't quite opened yet, and there's a growing number of voters ready to get right into it.
Very good. And on the Central Coast, north of Sydney, Jackie Pearson from the Central Coast newspapers. It has three community papers owned by the Bocello family. In the 2013 election, Geraldine was actually in Erina on the Central Coast on Election Day, and that's when Labor lost the seats of Dobell and Robertson to the Liberals. It's another area to watch. Jackie, welcome back.
Good morning, Andrew.
Now, Jackie, as I mentioned, I'll start with you. In 2013, there was that big upset on the Central Coast. Both Dobell and Robertson went from Labor to Liberal. Let's look at Dobell, because it's often seen as a bellwether seat. Emma McBride, she's the Labor candidate. She lost last time to Karen McNamara by a very slight margin. From what I've read, though, it's been a pretty rugged campaign this time round.
It has been a rugged campaign, but I think it's also the ruggedness of it has been a bit overstated in some of our local media. But yes, there's been a bit of defacing of campaign signs and a bit of argy-bargy at some of the pre-polling places up there, yes.
Yeah, it's interesting that Labor is running again, Emma McBride. Now, Labor's also seemed to learn a bit about its candidates, because Emma McBride is one of those candidates who actually comes from, I think, a real background. Isn't she a pharmacist or head of pharmacology at a local hospital?
That's right. She's head pharmacist at Wyong Hospital. She's also been a local councillor on the former Wyong Council. And her dad, Grant McBride, was an MP and a state MP and councillor and a very popular Labor MP. Last time, Emma started the race late, so she only had a couple of weeks to campaign. This time, she's been in place since before the election was officially announced, so she's had a lot more time and gained a much better public profile than she was able to in the last election.
Has Karen McNamara, the sitting Liberal MP, been able to dig in like a good local MP can, or has she simply not had enough time?
Well, we actually are very lucky in Dobell to have a fantastic local MP who's really rolled her sleeves up and worked on local issues, supported the community, even in issues like there's a boarding house at Arimba proposed DA, and the locals don't want it for many reasons. And McNamara's, over her time as member, gotten involved in that campaign and supported the local resident. So she is and has been a hard-working MP.
But has she been affected at all by some of the scandals that plagued the Central Coast Liberals during the state election?
Not really. She's managed to build a pretty healthy reputation. Her biggest impediment, I suppose, is that the boundary redistribution at federal level has meant that her margin is smaller, and it's looking more like Labor has a better chance in Dobell than it did last time. She's also not up against the likes of Craig Thompson, who was the disgraced Labor MP. He ran in the last election as an independent, but very much the whiff, I suppose, of Thompson's health services union scandal was very much marring the ALP brand in Dobell at the last election.
Look, just very briefly, Jackie, Robertson, which is the seat just to the south, it went from Labor to Liberal in 2013. Now, there's a bit more money, because I know that area of New South Wales pretty well. There's a bit more money, I think, in the southern part of the Central Coast. Will that help the Liberals hold the seat? It's a wealthier area.
Well, I'd say that Robertson is even more marginal than Dobell at this stage. Labor has certainly thrown a lot of money at Robertson. It looks like about $87 million worth of promises in comparison with the Liberals' 54%. Lucy Wicks, the sitting Liberal member, has also been up against it, even within her own party. They were very late to endorse her as their candidate again. And she's managed to upset a few people by pushing for a tax office building to go on Gosford's iconic waterfront land. So it's really interesting that the moneyed section of the Robertson community are not necessarily as favourable towards Wicks.
Well, especially if she wants the tax office in their backyard.
Yeah, well, Senator Deborah O'Neill, who actually ran against Wicks for Labor at the last election, said, "How dare she turn our iconic waterfront over to swipe card tax collectors for the next generation?" It's an interesting one, Robertson.
Liz, in South Australia, that is where X might mark the spot. Quite literally, for Nick Xenophon, the polls are just about to open. What is your sense of Nick Xenophon's prospects? Because they're looking, I think, at perhaps three lower house seats, two of them in the area that your newspaper covers.
Yeah, absolutely. So I the doors are just open, so people are filtering in after a bit of a lengthy wait and getting in out of the cold, I think, more than anything. But the Xenophon factor in Wakefield probably won't be quite as prominent as what we're expecting. It's mostly the grey electorate, the vast area occupied by Rowan Ramsay and the Liberals that takes up most of South Australia, that is under question. A lot of polling behind the scenes going on in grey in the lead up to this one. And yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding it and a lot of uncertainty of just how the Nick Xenophon vote and the preferences from those, whether it's Labor going to Nick Xenophon team or vice versa, will affect the outcome. But definitely the grey electorate is the one that's under the pump from the NXT. Wakefield, they're a little more confident. Nick Champion is pretty confident of holding on to this one. He seemed fairly relaxed on Tuesday when I last spoke to him, and it's his fourth election. He's a very, very experienced campaigner going up against the inexperienced Kathleen Bourne and the Liberals, and Richard Inwood from the NXT, who hasn't done a whole lot of campaigning. A lot of his campaigning has basically been based on being the NXT candidate alone, so not a lot of people would actually know him. They would know the Nick Xenophon name, and that's about it.
Yeah, Liz, the idea, though, of Grey falling to Nick Xenophon was a real bolter, because I mean, if you'd put this to any political commentator, even those I suspect in South Australia, a month ago, why would they have been surprised?
Well, I follow the bookie markets a bit, and they're always these guys stand to lose a lot of money if they get it wrong, and they had the Liberals at $1, which is basically unbackable odds to reclaim Grey, and that has since drifted dramatically. Like in the past couple of weeks, the Liberals have really drifted out. So Rowan Ramsay's out to $1.40, and the NXT has been wound right in. So it's quite a staggering turn of events. Possibly based on local voter dissatisfaction, particularly in the major centres in Whyalla, Port Pirie, those major industrial hubs where I guess a lot of the population in Grey lives. It's been quite a turn of the books, really.
Yeah, going back, of course, to the earlier story that we did this morning on Saturday Extra, the Arrium Steelworks is really the animating issue there. The fate of that steelworks says a lot, I think, about the government's prospects in Grey.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I guess a perceived lack of action in regards to that. And yeah, I guess the Labor Party and Nick Xenophon's been huge in Whyalla. He's been at rallies constantly, you know, a lot of fish shaking going on. And yeah, he's good at riling up a protest crowd and seemingly getting on board with them. So, yeah, it's the Whyalla will be quite a significant, I guess, supporter of the NXT and, of course, the Labor Party. It's a traditional Labor voting area, so it's going to be a crucial one to see how many numbers NXT can garner from that particular polling spot.
Yeah, Andrew West with you in for Geraldine Doogue on Saturday Extra. It's our final election express. Les Pearson there from a newspaper editor in Balaclava in South Australia. Jackie Pearson with the Central Coast newspapers. Now to Libby Price. Libby, well known to many Radio National listeners, now editor of the Benalla Ensign. Libby, you cover Indi. That is where the well-known independent, Cathy McGowan, is in a rematch against the woman she defeated in 2013, Sophie Mirabella. Is Cathy McGowan going to be returned?
I suspect so. The political, common political thinking is independents tend to serve two terms, and the often thought philosophy is that you don't so much win as lose, and I don't think that she's done enough things considered to be negative to lose. There is a spanner in the works, so to speak, because now that it's not a Liberal seat, the Nationals have stood a candidate, Marty Corboy. So he's going to split a lot of the vote, I think. He's going to get quite a bit of support. I would imagine Sophie Mirabella's primary vote will actually go down in favour of the Nationals candidate, Marty Corboy. So it may well, again, get down to preferences. And what's intriguing is that one of the best-known national figures in this seat, Ken Jasper, a former MP himself, has again recommended that the Nationals voters put Cathy McGowan as their first preference, not the Liberal candidate. So it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. Indi definitely does it differently, Andrew.
But I think the Nationals have also rolled out Tim Fischer, who is still a man very popular in the bush, former Deputy Prime Minister, former Nationals leader. Has his presence had any discernible effect in boosting the National vote there?
I don't think so. It was really at one function for the Nationals, and he didn't really talk that specifically about Marty Corboy, but he did come out with that stability word. So he'd obviously been worded up before he went about what the coalition wanted to push. I think he wasn't seen by enough people. He now lives, I think, probably just outside the electorate. I'm not sure actually. He's moved. And apparently his wife is quite fond of Cathy McGowan, and the joke is that one of his sons always threatens to vote Labor. So right. I don't know that that'll have a huge effect. The issue that is getting traction, of all things, is a state issue, and that's the Country Fire Authority.
Yeah, well, I just want to ask you about that very quickly. We don't have a lot of time, but Libby, the seat of Indi rolls, I think, from the border with New South Wales all the way down to the outer northern suburbs of Melbourne. Now, that is a sort of the fire zone. What is this going to cost Labor seats, as is predicted?
I don't think it will. Certainly, it's not going to have any effect on Labor here, because Labor's got a snowflake's chance in hell of getting up here. But it may well in other seats, and I don't know that it should really, in that it is a state issue. I know that the Liberals are campaigning, say that they'll intervene and fix the problem. I would be astonished if Malcolm Turnbull was re-elected if he did intervene in a state issue. Not only that, I think it would be extremely irritating to the state Liberals and Nationals for him to do that. So it does have some traction, but I think if people really think it through, that may well not change how they vote. But certainly, there are people, it is a very emotional issue, so on that basis it could have an impact.
Okay, I've only got 20 seconds left with each of you. We've spoken before about a level of voter disengagement. Well, people have got to vote, so I'm going to ask each of you, in your areas, how do you see the seats falling? Jackie Pearson.
Dobell, McNamara, very narrowly. Robertson, could be Labor.
So one apiece on the Central Coast.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yes.
Les Pearson down there in Balaclava. So will X mark the spot? Will we be waiting for Nick Xenophon to help form the next government?
I don't think so. I'd like to hope so, being in the media. It'd be a massive story, but I don't think so. A lot of rusted on Liberal voters in the country areas of grey. They'll stick true. They don't know what they're voting for in terms of the NXT. So that unknown factor, I think, will play against them in the end.
And Libby, as you said, you expect Cathy McGowan to hold that seat.
Yes, but I think what will be fascinating is to see how well Martin Corboy does for the Nationals, and he may well be the next Conservative.
Well, Libby Price, editor of the Benalla Ensign, Les Pearson, editor of the Plains Producer, and Jackie Pearson, editor with the Central Coast newspapers, I thank you all for being with us on the Election Express.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.